second course holding, filet, mid-rare, Alabama.
See, I'm living the best life, man. I'm just nice and high, post shift. I'm good, man. I'm having a great time. Man, it was cool. It was kind of chill in the morning, and then like all the stoners got off work and got really cool. So it's a shit show real fast. That's cool. A little bit, yeah. I did this thing. So one of my homegirls, she ordered food today, and said, "Yo, I'm gonna order something." I said, "You know, she always just checks in if I'm there because she knows I'm gonna make that shit fast." So she said, "Yo, I'm gonna order real quick." So yeah, hook it up. I said, "All right, cool." So I grabbed that some lavash, threw some cheese in it, some steak, pickled onions, and salsa, melted that shit, and then threw it on the flat top with like mozzarella cheese, and then wrapped it in like griddled cheese. It was like the ultimate stoner shit. And my partner took a picture of me doing it, and then it turned into a whole ass thing. So it became a thing, and we ran out of lavash in 20 minutes. So yeah, like, I don't have like that very typical like chef story where like they were watching their mom cook or their grandma cook and was like, "Oh, I want to do that one day." That wasn't a thing in my family. Like, we weren't like big cooks. Nobody cooked a lot at home. So I didn't really get into cooking until like my first cooking job. So like cooking and stuff like that was always just like means to an end. Like it's just sustenance. It was never like, "Oh man, it's gonna be some great career I have to pursue and I'm gonna, you know, whatever." I never had that until I went to my first job. I've told stories many times, but I'll tell you again. I like the story. So I started working at the Berghoff in Chicago. Are you familiar with the Berghoff? It's like a legendary restaurant, like old school. Like I think it's Nick's business license and liquor license is one. It's the first one ever issued by the city. They've been around forever. So it was like legendary during the holidays. It was right off State Street. And during the holidays, I mean, they would just get killed, 1,500 covers a day. You know what I mean? Literally, like, that's not even an exaggeration. And I applied to work there for the season, like a seasonal gig. I was trying to be a server. I wasn't even trying to be a cook. You know what I mean? And I ended up in the kitchen somehow, and the chef threw me into a stash, right? He was like, "Yo," he goes, "Well, I wasn't dressed for a stash. He told me to come back the next day." And I came back the next day with like, you know, whatever I had on, like not slip shoes and shit. And I had basically lied to get the job and the interview. So I was like, "Yeah, I've cooked before," and I never cooked before. And he puts me in the kitchen to massage, and I just got like, he puts me in the pantry. He goes, "We're gonna put you in the pantry." And you know, that's like garde-manger, but that's like the old way of saying it. And he was like, "We're gonna put you in the pantry." I was like, "Shit, run that. I'll just put groceries away all day." Like, I didn't know that was like, I didn't know that meant like garbo, right? Yeah, I thought I was gonna be putting groceries away. I was like, "Hell yeah, I got this state. It's in the bag, right?" So he's like, "Put me over there with homie." And like, I always tell people like this part about cooking and about restaurants and like sit down dining is you hear 1,200 covers, and yeah, that's a fucking lot. Like, that's a fuck ton for any restaurant. It don't matter. This is 3 floors, you know, whatever. But like that gets divided amongst the different stations and amongst like 20 different people. You know what I mean? Like the grill was massive. You had like 5 people on it. So like they never got into it. Garbo was just one guy. And that night it was 2 guys. So we touched every dish. You know what I mean? Like every dish got a side in the salad. So I had my hands in all of them. And I remember feeling like, "Oh, this is pretty cool. I had never done that kind of work. So this is pretty cool." You know, like I started feeling like that rush.
Right.
At the end of the, you know, chef called me into the office to talk about the gig. And he was like, "Yo, I just want to apologize, man." He goes, "You've never cooked before." He goes, "I just was kind of fucking with you a little bit. I just want to see how long you last." And I stayed the whole shift, you know? And he said, "You know, basically, he said, dude, I can teach you how to cook, but that's the easy part of it. I can't teach you, like, about love and about integrity." He goes, "You got that." He goes, "So if you want to learn how to cook, I'll teach you." And I had never had anyone talk to me like that before. You know what I mean? I know one had ever, like, not as an adult that wasn't related to me. You know what I'm saying? Like no one outside of my family had ever told me I wasn't ever gonna be shit or that I was special. So this dude that I don't know from Adam, you know what I mean? Like he kind of gave me the pat on the shoulder and was like, "Come on, man! Like I think you got this." And I was like, "It was more than the food that I fell in love with than the hospitality and that part of the industry." You know what I mean? Like that side of it is more what I fell in love with. Like the food part came later. Like I didn't learn how to appreciate food until I learned how to cook it. You know what I mean? Like it, to me, it was just shit you put in a pan. because, you know, it wasn't a job for me. I was one of those cats that was just like, yo, this is a paycheck. I'm cool with it. But, like, I love the return, like, that whole, like, organization, like, the way a kitchen's set up. I love being in the mix with people. You know, I like, all that shit, that camaraderie, that, like, you're in the heat of battle. Like, you can crush. And it's just you and the people next to you. And, like, you come out of that, like, hell yeah. Just, like, it doesn't matter what level of cooking you're at. Like, there's nothing that beats that high. And I was like, yo, like, I'm into it. Yeah.
So, right. Like, you fell in love with the ambiance.
I fell in love with hospitality, man. Like, I fell in love with, like, that side of it. Like, the food part, that's the easy part. You know what I mean? It's, like, caring and letting people know that you care. Like, that's the hard part. And I think that that's what I try to teach my guys. You know, it's like, shit, cooking, anybody can do that. Like, but being polite, being, like, respectful of people's, like, dietary, all that stuff like that, like, their allergies, and, like, learning how to listen to people and how to, like, think of their needs and consider their needs. That's something that's just like, either that's in you or it's not. And I love watching people like figure that out. You know what I mean? That this is what they love about it. You know what I mean? And to me, that's the most. That's just the part that I love the most. That's, like I said, the food, that's the part that kind of equalizes it. In my opinion, like, because any motherfucker can cook, you know what I mean? You throw enough shit in the pan, it's going to be good. And it becomes alchemy at that point. But like, somebody who cares, man. Like, for real care. Not just, like, that chef care. Like, oh, man, I pay attention to every ingredient. It's like, I touch every... That's bullshit. That's the narrative that we sell people. I'm talking about, like, loving the people who come in and appreciating what they do for you more than expecting them to appreciate what you do for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they
right.
pay our
building
bills.
Connections and really building a relationship with, you know, all your guests and... Once you do that, you're able to really, you know, reach much deeper into, you know, their likes and dislikes and
your own. And you learn more about yourself too. But by listening to what people like, dislike, and like really taking it in and sitting with it, you learn about yourself and like what you're willing to do for somebody else. Like, if you're just gonna be like, fuck that, I'm not doing that, then you know what kind of person you are. But if it affects you and you really conscientiously start ordering, start writing menus with those kind of people in mind, that's a whole other level. That's the next level. You know what I mean? And like, I really try to push that on my people because like, those people pay our bills, man. When they come in, like they should know that they're cared about because we care about them. And I tell them like, try to remove the transaction from the interaction. You know what I mean? Like,
I love that. I love that saying right there.
Oh, that's, I had this for a minute.
That's dope.
But like I said, you know, that's it, man. Making the connection with people, you know, through food, through the restaurant, through hospitality, it's all symbiotic. It's not one or the other. You know what I mean? Like, if someone's coming to your place just to eat, that's all they're ever going to think of it as. And it's never going to have any, they'll never have any real loyalty to it other than how they're feeling that day. Like, I don't really want whatever it is that we serve there. So they're just not going to come. But you get people that once you build that loyalty and that connection, man, they're celebrating anniversaries, birthdays, fucking funeral at your spot, and that's special.
No I love that. That's definitely a new perspective here on Late Night with Chefs, in terms of, you know, like how you got into it and you know, how you fell in love with it, from like that hospitality side. You know, even for me, you know, I was always, you know, I fell in love with the, you know, molecular and fuck around with shit too much. And, you know, I always got called out for it, but so no, it's really awesome to hear, you know, like a another perspective. And, you know, so you started off Berghoff, you know, did you meet any people you're still like in touch with there, or like, you know, what was the next step?
And all those cats were like, I mean, you're talking about dudes that have been there for 40 years. I mean, I've been cooking for 20 years since then. So, like, I'd be very surprised if those cats are still alive. But, like, you know, I mean, seriously, these dudes were, like, in their 50s and 60s, dog. They were making fucking bank. They weren't going nowhere. Like, those kind of cats, those lifers, like, they die in that fucking spot. But, like, you know, I see them on the street. It's a big city, but a small town. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You see everybody. So, like, I catch him on the train. You know, we all work in the same areas. So, I see him on the train, and, you know, we you know, hey, what's up, man? Oh, you still cooking? Oh, that's, you know, that kind of shit. Like, it was never nothing like, here's my phone number, dog, get at me. I mean, because these are old ass men, you know? Like, they were just like, they had like whole ass lives and families and grandkids. Like, what the fuck? I look like hanging out with them. So, like I said, I stay cordial with them, but that was 20 years ago, you know?
Right. So, you know, what was the next step after, you know, you fell in love with, you know, hospitality and getting that connection with people? Where did the culinary world take you next?
You know, I bought the round, you know, I did like things that like a bunch of spots, you know what I mean? It wasn't really until like you know, I did the whole thing, right, at the program. And chef was like, you know, you should think about culinary school. I was like, nah, I'm not getting down with that. You know, like, not because of that. I mean, like, it was just expensive. And if I'm keeping it real with you, it wasn't even about that. I didn't give a fuck about cooking. It was just like, which I didn't at that point. It was just a job, but I liked aspects of it, but it wasn't something that I thought of, like, oh, man, this is I'm going to hang my hat on this one.
Right, like a career and yet.
Think about it. I was like, whatever, right? So I met a couple of chefs along the way. The corner school met some people and got a couple internships, and you know, like everything just kind of started going from there, like progressing, and you know, like spent some time in fucking like Trotters and all those kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like any place that was hot in Chicago, I had worked in, and like you know, all that shit. And but it wasn't until like, man, when I went to Momotaro, when I was really like down. I have been kind of serious, but when I got to Momotaro, it was like another level. Like I had never opened a restaurant at that point. And we were on the opening team. So that really like...
Were you with Young Frank Francis on the opening team there?
No, Francis knows the drill. He's the homie. It's like an AKA Vendador Chicago. Bro, here's a funny story about Francis, okay? I mean, you know Francis, and you know that like he's Albanian. Like, straight from over there.
Right.
And... Well, he speaks Spanish like I do, like a Mexican. Like for, he speaks that the colloquial Mexican Spanish. Like he knows all that shit. Like all the like the weird ass little double entendre. Like he knows all of that. And so it fucked me up when I found out he was Albanian. So I straight up do like for like, man, the first like 4 months I was I thought he was Mexican as hell. Because we were talking that shit, dude. Like and he's fluent. He doesn't even have an accent. It's insane. Like, I know Mexicans who still don't believe that he's not Mexican.
Right.
So, we were on the opening team there, you know, I'm like, I learned a lot there, like, as far as, like, that kind of shit, like, opening the restaurant, like, and I saw a whole other side of it, you know, and, like, the game was different at that point, like, that was, that milestone in my career was more, like, I could do that. I had never really thought about, like I said, at that point, up until that point, it was just, like, whatever. Like, it's just a fucking job. My head's down. I'm doing my thing. You know, the world needs ditch diggers, too, dude. And I was a ditch digger for a long time. And I was cool with that. Like, I was fine with that. And when I got to Momotaro, we were allowed to, like, fuck around and experiment and, like, put shit on the menu. You know what I mean? Like, it was more collaborative because we're opening the fucking restaurant. You know what I mean? Like, nothing is set in stone. That first menu was, like, 22 pages long. It was ridiculous. Like, no, like, I swear to God, it was, like, this thick. I am not even bullshit.
Was there any, yeah, you know, pinnacle dishes that, you know, bring you back?
Yeah, man. So the chawan mushi was like a motherfucker. Dude. Like that was my dish in there. And
to all our viewers tuning in, you know, can you explain what a chawan mushi is and you know, what's the process?
So chawan mushi is like it's a Japanese custard, like it's a steamed custard. It should have like a little bit of give, like I mean like silky on like a skin, but like underneath it, like silky kind of just like nice and creamy type shit. And so we were doing one at Momotaro, and fuck, dude, like that shit gave me nightmares. It would change like with it. It's such a like sneaky dish because you have to like it's like yolks. You separate the yolks and it's the whole thing, right? And then like you have to strain, run it through like a chinois. And I add sake. It's a whole bunch of, you know, dashi and all that stuff. It's a whole, like, process. Then you have to steam it a certain way at a certain temperature. And if it's 1 minute over, 1 minute under, trash. Like, because if you pull it early, you can't put it back in. And there's no carryover. So it's just fucking, it's just soup at that point. It's just egg soup. It's disgusting.
Like, compared to like a souffle almost.
For sure. Like, it's just like gross ass raw, like semi raw egg. Like, it's not even like raw, like whatever, but it's just weird, like, yeah, whatever. If you fuck it up, there's no way around.
Right.
It's just, and so that dish right there, like, always, like, I have what, on the side of my glasses, I have the word chow on down there on the side of my glasses, because, like, Francis would call me Big Daddy Chawan. So it just turned into the whole thing. And he was Little Daddy. So
was that because he could never nail it?
Dude, that was a fucking G, bro.
You were rocking the Chawmushi station?
Dude, and like, I would go, that station would go down like hard because you have to keep opening the oven. You know what I mean? Like, you never let it get back up to temp properly. So you have to steam it for like 3 minutes and then fire another one. I'm like, fuck, dude, I can't. I have to wait 3 minutes. You know what I mean? I can't open this. So it was just a bitch, dude. Like, and so that one kind of gets, that when it like just stands out more from like that like perspective. It was just like a nightmare. And then like doing like the prep stuff. So that's another part of it too. Like, I really learned to respect prep cooks a lot more because I got like promoted to like sous chef, and I was the AM one. So I'd be down there at like with the prep people. And I mean, Muma Taro is like, we're prepping for like 600 covers, you know, 500
right.
covers.
It's a beast. I mean, no, for sure. It's.
And I really learned to respect that side of the game. You know what I mean? Like getting down there and just doing all the work. And I think that's kind of where my perspective kind of started to change too.
Well, you guys also had like the super freezer, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That big.
Yeah, it's like you get the Momotaro is like one of the only ones that really have that super freezer to get like what half tunas and stuff like that.
Yeah, we used to take the tunas, we break them down, throw them in there, and they'd be frozen like in 5-10 minutes, or something, like completely like that's like the trick for like that kind of shit. It has to drop super fast.
Right.
And that being, I mean, it's essentially hospital equipment. So like, it's like for plasma, because plasma has to stay cold, like it gets cold really fast. So it's like hospital, like wasn't even supposed to be there. Funny story about that thing. One of my friends, Dave, like that, it would defrost every once in a while. It was just like, beep, beep, like just. So one of the homies, Dave and Francis, we're all homies, so he all knows the story. He convinced me, dude, like little by little, because I'm a super paranoid kind of person to begin with. So he's like, dude, like, and I mentioned something about schizophrenia and how like, dude, how it tripped me out, like. If that's what's so scary about schizophrenia, that you never know if you're like in an episode, you know, whatever. This all could be a schizophrenic delusion, you know, and you don't even know, right? I don't even know how we got into that conversation, but we got into that conversation. So this motherfucker took that shit, right? And he convinced me that I was like in a coma and that beeping was from fucking the machine. And he did that shit for like 3 days, dude. He just kept fucking. So when I bought in, I was like, fuck. He goes, dude, he goes, think about it. Like, why would you be bringing up? I was like, yo, for real. Like, he's just fucking. And he had me for like 2 days. I was like, I just, it was that fucking.
Wow,
deep.
Yeah, that would throw me off, man. There's always, you know, those noises, those weird noises that, you know, you and your buddies are the only ones that hear it because it is what it is.
Here at events, because the building's been here forever, and like the owner, the previous owner died. I don't know if he died here or not, but I know he died. Like, it's fucking weird in here sometimes. Like, when you're here by yourself, like in the morning, if you're early or like through the day at night, like the fucking, you know, like the fall. I mean, stuff like that you can kind of, in your mind, write it off like, oh, that was just the wind or whatever. Kind of
right.
Weird noises. And then I'm like, as soon as somebody comes, I'm like, hey, come stand next to me. Come over here. Hang out. Don't leave, please. Just hugging people.
But, no, yeah. Kitchens in the morning themselves, you know, can be.
Be right. Like the kitchens in the morning, like if you're like a pastry person, like I don't know how the fuck they do that. Like they have to be like at 4 a.m. It's dark. All you hear is that the hood going. Like, that's eerie as shit. I don't know how they do it. Hats off to them.
Right. If you think about line cooks, we pretty much wake up at noon. You know. We are like, you know, when we're in the weeds, we're pretty much partying with the guests as, you know, the restaurant is in full swing and, you know.
When it's hum, there's nothing. I tell people, like, when the restaurant's humming the way it's supposed to have, that's like a work of art. It's beautiful. Like, when it's just everybody's firing on all cylinders the way it's supposed to, it's like boom, boom, boom. That's the spot, dude. There's no feeling like that. I mean, I'm sure there are, but like none that I've experienced. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like that high, dude. You're like, fuck, I just, like, I'll do it again tomorrow. It's like, just, like, that part of it, like, I always love all that shit.
Right, when everybody's on point and, you know, you're busy, but you got this rhythm and, you know, front of the house isn't slamming you all in one sitting, you know, everything is beautifully orchestrated. No, for sure. Yeah, those are the best days. And you know, the best thing that, you know, one of the biggest thing I miss since I haven't been in the kitchen for about 8+ months, you know, is that leaving after work and like being like, damn, I just like I crushed that shit, like I had it, you know.
The best part of that though, I mean, from back in the day, was like when you get your little crew that like you guys are cleaning and you're like, dude, down the street it's still open, you know, it was me and everybody just goes and just fucking like, it just, our spicy hush them off, it was like right there, and it was, they were open late, so like we would all go in there, fuck, I mean, like 10 of us just go in there and fuck shit up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't drink. I've never had alcohol in my life, like, by the way. But I go there and fucking hang out. You know what I mean? Like, they get fucking ripped. And I mean, we should be closed down. We have a good time. And I miss that, like, a lot of that shit, too. You know what I mean? Like, but like I said, I was always more of like the vibe kind of. Like, I always fucked with that vibe. And it's like that vibe at Momotaro was really rad. Like, that opening scene, like, we all still hang. Like, we're all still friends. Like, I consider Francis one of my closest friends. Like, he's a good dude. You know what I mean? Like, we met there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all the people that I met there, like, I still fuck with. Like, they come in to all my spots. They come to hang out. You know what I mean? Like, we show each other love. Like, you know, like, people, all that shit. It's cool. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of stuff that like, I always was more of my jam. Like, that camaraderie.
Right.
Like, That's the biggest part of it for me. And like the late night, like after work, you know what I mean? Going like the Maxwell Street or some shit. Like, let's go get some Polish sausages. Oh, hey, fuck it. Let's order, like, let's go to White Castle and get like 100 White Castle and just act up. You know, like, that was like, that's another part of the high that, you know what I mean? Like, I used to chase.
Right. The party continues after the close.
And then, like I said, like, I don't drink. So I was always like, fuck, you guys want to stay up? I'm just going to be tired. Y'all are going to be hungover. So I'm cool with that. Like, I'll stay up with you all night. So I kind of do that shit. Like, we go out and everybody gets, like, just wasted, dude. But, like, not like that, like, gross wasted, but, like, fun. Like, the party's still going kind of shit. Never, like, aggressive. Never, like, weird. Always a really good vibe. And that's why I used to kick it so much with those guys. And I don't really do that kind of shit. Like, I don't really hang out with people outside of work. Not for no other reason than, like...
Right, it's like a, you know, friends night out, enjoying yourself. Yeah. Everybody's on a good frequency, you know?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think, like, because up to that point, it's a job. But this is, like, one of the ones where I really felt like they were my family. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are my people. You know what I mean? I finally met my family. And then, you know, I left from there. I went to California for a little bit. And when I came back from California, I was like, yeah, I don't ever want to work for anybody again. I was like, fuck that. So I opened my first spot, my coffee shop, which is in Irving Park. It's called Pino. One of my homies who I used to work with back in the day.
Right. You guys were like, super, super hype and, you know, Eater and all these people, you know, publicity and stuff like that. You guys were doing some awesome, awesome things.
I mean, you know what it was? It was one of those things that when my friend asked me to, because, you know, he hit me up. He's like, hey, bro, like, I don't want to work for anybody anymore. I want to open a restaurant. He was, you want to open a restaurant with me? I was like, nah, not really. I don't know if I open a restaurant. I was like, fuck that. Like, I was done with restaurants at that. And
What was the experience in California that made you come back and not want to... You know, what were those, you know, is there anything that you, like, can...
I mean, like, you know, like, nothing crazy, just more, like, the time that I was there was, it was time, it was just, you know, just watching you like, all right, cool, like I did that thing, like what am I gonna do now? And I didn't have money to like figure it out in LA. Like, you gotta, like, I always tell people, I wouldn't go back to LA like for an extended period of time unless I was rich. Because like, fuck that, why would you wanna work if you live in LA? It's rap. You know what I mean? You go to the beach, you go surfing, kicking it, hang out and like smoke weed everywhere. It's a party all the time. Like, why the fuck would you wanna go to work? So I came back here to kind of figure out what I wanted to figure out. Like, I didn't know what my next move was. Like, I went to help open the restaurant. We did that. You know what I mean? It's a little longer than expected, but we did all that. And they offered me the chance to stay. And I was like, you know, I'm really just working to, like, I mean, anywhere, really. But I didn't want to live with anybody. And, like, a lot of other shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't drive. I at that point, I wasn't driving, period. Like, I hate driving. And public transit in LA sucks. And I'm from here, and I'm used to, like, a good public transit system.
Right, so getting around easily and conveniently.
So it was just a lot of little things that ended up being like, I'm just going to go back home and figure out what my next move is. And if it brings me back out to play, cool. Like, I'm way open to that. But I can't afford to figure out shit here.
Now, as a chef, do you think it's, you know, very important to stay open to opportunities as they come your way and kind of see as it goes?
Like, life in general that way, you know what I mean? Like, you should just live your life that way. Like, I think that, like, keeping the door open, keeping the windows open, you know what I mean? Let all the breeze in. And you figure it out. Like, you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know what you like or don't like until you try it out. So it's pointless to be like, well, that's not for me. Shit, how do you know it's not for you? I like to find out what's not for me through experience. Like, I don't regret any shitty job I've ever had. Any, like, people are like, oh, that was a bad, I mean, shit, they're all bad jobs until you find a good one. So I used to just be like, whatever, I'm down. I never look at it as like a negative experience, because I'm learning something. I'm learning that I don't fucking ever want to do that again. You know what I mean?
Right. So, like,
I mean, do that, and that's important too on people who are just starting their careers up. I just had this conversation with a young guy that worked there. As I do, like, it's important to, like, figure out, like, what you never want to do. And, like, as far as, like, service and food and shit like that, I feel like you're on an opening team. Like, you're picking up so much game right now. I feel like...
Right, you're getting, like, one-on-one coaching pretty much, you know, personal VIP.
You're watching everything right next to us, you know what I mean? I have the time to tutor you, to mentor you, to talk to you about the things that, like, you know, that you might not think to like, look at. I'm like, hey, bro, pay attention to this. You know what I'm saying? Hey, bro, like, you know, that kind of shit. And so, like, and I told him, I said, learn from all of my mistakes that we're making here, too. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, this is a new business model, like, in the pandemic. You know what I mean? Like, all to go, all that shit like that. I mean, like, those kind of places didn't exist as in the vast abundance that they do now. You know what I mean? Like, where it's takeout only. Like, there was a couple spots like that, and you'd be really bummed and you wouldn't want to go there because you want to sit out. But then you remove the option of dining in, and then all of a sudden everything's takeout, and now you have to rethink a lot of shit you never thought of, you know? Like, your fixed costs, you know, this is like boring shit, right? Like, this is the boring stuff. And I said, bro, you're learning all the boring shit, like, in the most exciting way. You know what I mean? Like, we're learning all
and,
of, like,
Just to give us a couple examples, just so we can draw like an image. What is the boring shit? What is he referring to the boring shit?
First to that is like thinking of like figuring out like if you're fixed cost. All right, cool. Like, for example, do we want to use like we don't do a printer, you know, like, so like we just have like a touch screen kind of thing, almost like, you know, like the McDonald's type shit was like a touch screen. And
right.
We don't have a ticket machine because paper is fucking expensive. And when you do the math on your printing everything up, like all that printer paper, like that shit adds up. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Just, 8 o'clock. You know, give me another roll. Give me another roll.
No, I mean, like, that's the I mean, that's game, like, exactly. And then it's everything's proprietary, so you have to buy from these people. And like, you know, you can buy the bootleg shit at restaurant people, but like if
then it jams and then.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you could do all that. And, like, and then the other thing I was telling them was, like, to-go boxes, bro. Like, that used to be, like, 2% of your annual, like expenses. Now it's, like, 30, 40% of what you put into your restaurant weekly.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's all to-go boxes. Like, that's the kind of shit that I didn't think of. You know what I mean? Like, why the fuck would I think of that? Like, I've never had a place that only used to-go boxes. I would order a case and be like, all right, I'm cool. Like, a case used to last like 3 months. You know what I mean? Like, we go through 4 cases a week and shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. I mean, maybe not that much, but like, we go through a lot of, we go through like cases of shit here. Like, stuff that like, you'd maybe buy a case of it a year. Like, it was wild. Like, straws. Okay, like straws. Most places it could go like a decade with a case of straws. Like, seriously. I worked at restaurants and they were still like on the first 2 boxes from opening like 3 years in. You know what I mean? And it's like, because everybody sits down, they're drinking water, nobody wants to fucking straw. Like, they're just stacked up, right? But now everything to go, straws, I mean, all that shit, and they're jacking all those
prices. Right, you got to think about so many different things now. And I'm like, I can't even imagine, especially if like people are, you know, are people able to like put everything on the side and put like, you know, a bunch of random sauces, and then you got all these thousands of different ramekins? And
I mean, like, that's what I was telling my man. I said, think about that shit. Look at this, bro. Like, look at the mistakes we're making here. Because like, it's never like, this is going to be the base level right now. Like, this is like, right here is the fallback where we're at now with the way restaurants are set up, like with the way everything's set up. Like, this is always going to be this is like the emergency plan. Shut everything down, to go everything. And if you've never done that before, it's going to fuck you up. But if you've done it before, like, and you've experienced this level of, like, readiness, this is your most basic level of training. I mean, you're ready for that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're ready for that. Like, at your very most basic level of training, you're ready to see your business through a pandemic. I say that's a pretty good fucking baseline startup. Right. I mean, like, that's the shit learning. And, like, for free. But actually, I'm paying him to learn it. So, like, I always tell people, like, look at it that way. You know what I mean? Like, when you get a job, they're paying you to learn. And it's up to you, like, how you want, like, what you want to do with that education. You know what I mean? You really want to learn something, or you want to, like, seem like you want to learn something. And my man wants to learn, and he wants to open his own spot. He has, like, very clear goals. And I respect that. So I'm like, shit, stand next to me. And, like, I'll teach you some shit, you know? Like, mentorship is the other big part about cooking, too, bro. Like, it's all about, if you're a chef, it's 100% your responsibility to teach your people the proper kitchen culture. Everybody wants to take the accolades of, like, all the, like, awards, and everybody, oh, man, I'm so proud of, but nobody wants to take the L, bro. Nobody, like, when you confront somebody about having a shitty kitchen culture, they automatically want to go and, like, oh, well, I was, that's, you know, that's just the culture. It's like, nah, bro, it's the culture you perpetuated, right? Like, if you're doing that bullshit all the time, then yeah, this seems normal to you because you've been writing it off as the culture. But like, that end with us, and I feel like all that shit's done. Like, that whole day is done. So I'm learning too. You know, I'm learning like, not like that. Like, I'm learning like different. Like,
right? You have a different perspective now, right?
And it's like, I mean, I literally, you can ask anybody who's worked with me. Everybody's like, I don't curse at anyone in the kitchen. I don't raise my voice in the kitchen. I don't yell, I don't scream, I don't throw shit. Like, that's all nothing.
So my question is, who mentored you? Who was your, you know, and if it doesn't have to be one, but who are those people that instilled those, you know, work ethics and ideas and perspectives into you?
I mean, like, chef wise, I mean, Matthias, you know, from Yusho, Charlie Trotters, you know what I mean? Like, Matthias Merch is like, he's a cool cat. You know, I mean, he wasn't always like that, but he like taught me a lot about, like, because he's super zen. Like, that fucking dude climbs mountains and like he meditates like 3 times a day. Like, dude, he's punch him in the stomach as they're hitting a rock. He's ripped. He does like yoga.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm gonna Google this guy after this pod.
He's a cool cat, and he taught me a lot about, like, you know, slowing things down. Like, he's like, you know, take it in. What are we looking at? You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to kind of just hear the ticket machine going off and be like, oh, you know, like, I gotta get stuff. He used to be like, okay, like, stop. That thing's beeping, fine. But, like, what is it? What are we looking at? What do we have in front of us? Like, this is manageable. You know what I mean? Like, he taught me to, like, kind of look at it that way. Like, he's like, chef, you know the best part about a bad service is? And I'm like, it comes to an end. And you get a chance to be better tomorrow. And he was always like that, you know what I mean? It was that kind of like shit where I was like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, all right, like, I get that. Like, I respond well to those kind of things. When someone's like, yo, no pressure, but there's a lot of pressure. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like that. When you get a guy like, he's like, yes, there's a lot of pressure going on. And yes, this sucks. And it's going to happen again tomorrow. Are you going to be better tomorrow? Like, that's the kind of stuff that I respond well to, because that puts it in my hands. And it takes it away from the universe and all this bad service and this guy's doing this and that guy's doing that. It's like, yo, it's not me. It's my personal accountability. And do I want to be better, or do I want to keep saying, like, oh, well, so-and-so with the fucking grip stick, I would have been on time of my pickup. We were supposed to meet. You know, like, you know all of the suits that people throw when they're having a bad service, you know?
Right.
And he put that, like, he's like, dude, like, yeah, it's a bad service, but, like, that's on you, the way you react to that. And I really took, like, that to heart. I mean, Mark from Momotaro, obviously, like, taught me a lot about, like, being, like, this, like, I don't know, like, being okay with what you're putting out in front of somebody. Like, he is a cool cat, man. I mean, he's still alive. He's still a cool guy. He's not dead. But his whole thing was, like, he made staff meal one time, right? Like, this is the mindset. Okay? He made staff meal one time. And he made like a castle, dude. He made a big ass castle for staff. It was fucking fire, right? And I was like, he never did that shit. I take great pride in cooking staff. Like, I thoroughly enjoy cooking it. I actually asked for that to be my task. And I'll come in early off the clock to get done with my shit early just to make a proper staff meal. Anyone who's ever worked with me will attest to that. Seriously, I take that shit really seriously. Feeding my fellow cooks in front of house and everybody is a very big joy. Like, it brings me a lot of pleasure. And one of those rewards that's intangible,
right? Because you connect with you're feeding everybody, you're connecting with everybody, you know, there's that camaraderie, and you know, everybody's patting you on the back saying how bomb, you know, thank you, and you know, they're all waking up at, you know, 11 and noon, and then they don't have to worry about the first thing that's going to go in their stomach is going to be something smack, you know,
fire, you know what I'm saying? Like, all the homies would I mean, dude, like, for real, like, I used to look at the schedule and be like, all right, boom, 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 that person's a vegetarian, this person's a vegan. And they get completely separate meals from everybody else. It wouldn't be just, like, no chicken. It would be, like, a completely different fucking menu for them. For staff.
That's amazing. Whenever,
because, like, I take it that seriously. I don't want you to ever feel like you're an afterthought, period.
Well, you know, and I mean, that, like, those little things is what, you know, when we're talking about, you know, three Michelin star restaurants, right? They go above and beyond for their clients, their guests. You know, if they look through their Instagram, they find out they don't like this, or if they've never had a hot dog, they give them a hot dog. So this is almost like the back end of it, of like you knowing your people and like making sure that they're happy to wake up, to come to work, you know, get the sustenance, get the love, you know, and really connect on a deeper level.
That's absolutely it. And it's also too, like, to build on that, that's absolutely 100% it. Like, and to build on that, like, I always tell people, if you think hospitality starts when you walk in the door, then you've already lost. Like, that's not, like, it has to be, like, who you are, like, in you. Like, when you wake up, like, holding the door open for somebody, like, doing something that's just, like, doesn't necessarily need to be reciprocated. Like, all those things are, like, trademarks of hospitality, you know what I mean? And, like, if you really want that to be the culture where you work at, you have to do it from the moment that they walk. That they wake up and they walk in the door and they, like you said, they know they're going to eat something bomb. Whatever little subliminal consciousness they took away from it, it's that they at least know what they're cared for. And that they're being heard and that their needs are being met. And, like, and that's very intentional on mine. That's not, like, something that, like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. It's like, no, I do that shit on purpose. Because I want you to know that, yo, like, fuck, dude, it's not going to be fun here today, or it might be the best day of your life, but at least you know the person who made you that meal, like, really thought about you, and let that be the thing that kind of you think about when it's like, oh, man, you know what I mean? Like, because, dude, it's always a low spot in service, but if you start off with a W, I mean, like...
Right, everything can, you know...
Yeah, there's no better way to start your... Yeah, and, like, also, too, like, one of my, like, I'm from the hood, you know what I mean? Like, I grew up Douglas Park, like, when it was Douglas Park, you know what I mean? Like, cracked in the crack era and shit, you know what I mean? Like, kind of shit. Like, And a lot of the, I grew up in the street. Yeah, I didn't grow up in the street. I had a family, and I was mom and dad. But I had a nice family. You know, my family's pretty cool.
Right. What were your some of your favorite, you know, late night snacks or snacks at that point of your life?
Oh, this is what I was going to say. So, like, the cats that I hung out with, they were all the older dudes. You know what I mean? They were always really cool with me. They were never, like, they was never, I mean, I was into whatever I was into, but they were never, they were always really, they guided me and they mentored me and they taught me, like, about loyalty and stuff like that. And about love and respect, like genuine love and respect for one another. And the thing that we used to, this is more of a early morning kind of, or whatever. But have you heard of Moon Sandwich Shop?
No, I have not.
Check out Moon's. They're fucking fire. It's on Western and like, It's on Western. Whatever.
What is it called again?
Moon's, like M-O-O-N-S, Moon's.
Moon's.
Moon Sandwich Shop. Like, they've been there forever, dude. I mean, like, it's an old school, like, U-shaped with old. I mean, the refrigerators are like from the 40s. I mean, it's old, you know what I mean? And they deliver breakfast sandwiches. So, you know, whenever we would be out there doing our thing, you know, sometimes you pull an all-nighter, and we would, I swear to God, 100% true story. We would go to the payphone on the corner. So this would be, you gotta remember, I'm old, dude. Like, I'm like 40, you know what I mean? So, like, this is when I was a kid, like 12 or 13, and 13, 14. And we would go to the payphone and call Moons up because they start delivery at 7. So they used to, I don't know what they do now. So we call them up at like 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever, and then order a bunch of breakfast sandwiches to the bench in Douglas Park across the street from the corner store. Like, literally, that was the direction. We'd be like, yeah, can you deliver to the bench across the street from the corner store on ATC California? And they'd be like, yeah, absolutely. Like, they didn't even think about it. Like, they didn't even question it. So we just get like these sandwiches delivered from the bench. And those are like some of the best moments. They're like these older cats just like sitting there eating breakfast. Like, just good ass dude. It's just like.
No, that's pretty dope.
It was the whole vibe, you know. And like, those dudes taught me a lot about like how to move the way I move and kind of how to treat people with a certain level of respect and like how to demand a certain level of respect. Obviously, those lessons change as time goes on and you kind of proximity to that, like, to that whole lifestyle, and that's the game, you know what I'm saying? Like, we call it the game, you know what I mean? Like, when you're in the game, that's a whole other lifestyle. And like, once you start stepping back from it, like, it's always in you, but you're just not in it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Right. No, it's like that quote with Anthony Bourdain. It's like, you know, you want to have a sous chef that has a criminal mind, you know, kind of bring that to the table where you're using those skill sets in a different manner and applying different perspectives to them.
And I tell people, like, people think of it like a wire or some shit like that, right? I mean, I'm sure that happens too, but, like, the cats that I hung around with were always more, like, and it's just, again, why hospitality speaks to me, you know what I mean? Like, they schooled me in a different way, where they used to be like, yo, like, if you come hang out with people because of, it's what draws you to somebody is what where your loyalties lie, right? And they'd be like, if you only hang out with somebody because they got money, then that's where your loyalties lie. When the money runs out, then you're going to go find somebody else, and, like, you can never be trusted, and your loyalty can never be trusted. But when you do something out of love, like, you care, like, it's in you. It's for the love, you know what I mean? Because we all used to be like, yo, we used to say, like, whatever, talk about love to one another. Cause, I mean, that's the only thing that really we had. That was the only tie that bound us, was that we all loved one another. And they taught me how to, like, be okay with, like, accepting someone's, like, respect and, you know, but, like, asking for it, too. Like, being like, yo, I don't tolerate this kind of thing. Boom, boom, boom. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like this kind of shit. I'll always treat you a certain way if you promise to always treat me a certain way. And then taking them at their word. But then, like, letting them know the consequences when they cross the line. You know what I mean? And, like, that, like I said, that has changed over the years. Like, it used to be, you know, most of them cross the line. You do what you got to do to them. But now it's just more like, cut their shit, you fire them. You know what I mean? But it's about love. You know what I mean? Like, out of respect. You know what I mean? Like, here's a certain thing that a line that I don't want you to cross. You know what I mean? Like I said, I don't yell at anybody. I don't ask anybody. I'll tell you, I don't curse at nobody. I don't call nobody out their name. None of that bullshit. Like, because that's disrespectful. And if you want somebody to respect you, that's the most basic love. Like, seeing, like, chefs scream at people really fucking pisses me off. Like, and for a lot of reasons. It's a sign of weakness more than anything. That's why I laugh at that shit. Like, somebody screaming at you has effectively done two things. Showing you how to make them mad and showing you how to shut them up. Like, when somebody starts screaming at you, you want them to stop, right? The lesson you're trying to teach this person is not going to get through it. They just want you to stop yelling. They're going to say whatever the fuck they got to say to shut you up. Do whatever they got to do to shut you up. And I promise you, the lesson you were trying to teach these cats was not. All they learned was how to shut you up. And all they learned was what set you up.
They're right. Saying, yes, chef. Talking. Yes, chef. Right? That's.
Yeah, you're talking how to be sneaky. And that you have nobody to blame when you find shit hidden under stuff. You know what I mean? Like, stuff in the drawers. Like, because you taught them to be afraid of you, as opposed to respect you. Because when they respect you, they're going to think that this place is like, they're going to take pride in it. They're like, yo, this is the motherfucker I want to see him succeed. And they'll put in, you know what I mean? So when you scream at somebody, they're never going to give you the kind of loyalty that you need to go to another level. You know what I mean? Like, at least I've never experienced where it's a true, like, it's a bunch of people coming together for a certain goal, right? Get a star, get whatever, and like, that's cool, that's perfect, and when it works, it works. But when you respect one another, you know what I mean, when everybody's just like fucking and I really like this,
right,
that's a whole other level you can't get without respect. And like, and respect beats love, you know what I mean, and love and respect go hand in hand, they're not mutually exclusive, you know. And I always tell people that, you know what I mean, like, be the kind of cat that you want, that people want to root for. You know what I mean? Be the kind of dude that, like, or person, be the kind of person, you know, I would say the cat, because like, it could be man or woman. But be the kind of cat that, like, people look at and like, yo, man.
But, like, with that being said, like, you know, kind of going back to your Momotaro days when you guys had, like, a clique, right? There's still people that come in and out of that clique that, you know, have that bad judgment. You just kind of filter them out, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, dude, like, again, it comes from like all this other shit too, but like your life experience dictates the kind of energy that you draw in too, right? Because like, if you don't have no kind of experience in anything, you're gonna draw the predators, the people who just want to take advantage of you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Like the people who like do what they do to whoever get over on you too. And like, but when you have like this kind of like the kind of thing that we have in the power, you know, people walk in and like we see them and they don't, the vibe doesn't fit. And not like I'm some sticky shit, but like, yo, like, we worked really hard to build this, like, to cultivate this family. And when the vibe doesn't fit, they weed themselves out. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, they leave of their own accord. It was never, like, some bully shit. And that's what I'm saying. That goes back to that shit where it's, like, it's a carefully cultivated vibe of, like, love. Like, we all love each other. And we wouldn't accept any less. And not on some, like, get out of here type shit. Like, we weren't territorial, but, like, when a whole restaurant don't fuck with you.
Yeah, you guys were all self-motivated to succeed, you know? You guys all wanted best for each other, and then, you know, like, from me personally knowing Francis and from seeing, you know, what you do on a day-to-day, you know, you guys are very self-driven and you guys are always pushing, you know, to that next level, and you guys, you know, have that work ethic and you're grinding. It's not like you're wishing for things, you're making them happen, which is amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. And like I said, and to speak to that point too, you know, like, that's another thing I learned there, teamwork. I mean, like, teamwork, obviously, but like, people, like, for real, like, on your team, dog. Like, 100% of the people I work with at fucking Momotaro, all of them came to my coffee shop at least once. Some of them 5-10 times. Like, you know, they've been here a bunch of times. You know what I mean? So you bet. It's like, it's fucking wild, dude, like, those connections and shit, you know? Like, and I mean, they're still there because we cultivated a culture of, like, love and respect. I mean, there's a lot of fucking around, too. Don't get it twisted. You know?
No, like, for sure. No, I know. I know how it goes. I mean,
it wasn't under that, but, like, we all genuinely...
Through thick and thin, you know? You guys were there for each other.
Dude, opening chef team was just a bunch of two motherfuckers, bro. You know what I mean? Like, we were just all, like, why wouldn't you want these cats to get a star? Why wouldn't you want these cats to win best restaurant of the year? You know what I mean? Like, these are cool motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Forget about talent. Like, that's diamond level. Like, it's like, these are cool guys, man. You know what I mean? They're doing fun stuff. They're doing stuff that nobody's really doing. They're not dumbing down food. Why wouldn't you want them to win? You know what I mean? Like, that's how all of our mind was. So we were all in it. Like, we all loved the people, the culture, the vibe that was created from day one. And we all... We still ride it, you know what I mean? Like, we still rep it. Like, there's a couple of cats they got that one of those dudes moved away, and they went and got matching Momotaro kanji tattoo. You know what I mean? Like, it's that deep in us. It's because, like, it was a pure kind of moment. Like that could never be recreated. Even as much as I love all the people I've opened many restaurants with and all those vibes, that moment in time could never be recreated. You know what I mean? It's a beautiful, perfect moment in time that like.
And it was also, you know, the right it, in that time of Momotaro opening up. I mean, it was huge. You know, you guys made huge waves. Yeah. So it's like, and being a part of that for sure. It's, you know, it's a one of a kind, you know, that opening team who, you know, just eats all the shit that comes with opening a restaurant, you know, the first 3 weeks of service, adjustments, readjustments, you know, all of that. That's a lot to overcome. You know, I had the pleasure of, you know, being the opening team for GT Prime and, you know, we were doing numbers that,
another Trotter guy. I fucked with Giuseppe.
Yeah, so you know Giuseppe and John, and obviously you know tensions were super high. Everybody was like super hyper focused, and again, yeah, we were cultivating that environment. You know, we went through a lot of people in those first you know 6 months for sure, and then
yeah.
You know me. You know, there's like my crew too. You know, it's like me, Ramon, Lucas, Josh. You know. All of us like clicked and we were there. Like we wore the restaurant for that time. You know, Johnny was the leader, you know, the head honcho leading everybody. And, you know, we were doing 450 and every day we came in and we're like, let's do 500 a day. Like, let's just.
That's because you believed and you trusted the people who were in charge. And like, when you do, like I said, man, when you have that kind of environment where people like for real trust you, shit, that is the limit, dog. Like, how far you want to go? Because they'll follow you to hell. For real. You know what I mean? Like, and not on some, like, exploitative shit. I mean, I'm some, like, straight up for the love type shit. Like, yo, like, I love this motherfucker. Let's get it. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I felt. I go to, I mean, like, I don't know how that's how anybody else felt. But I would go to, like, from the, every place where I, like, really fuck with the chef. Like, they're cool. Like, dog, I was in, bro. I was like, it wasn't even about like some hard like I'm a hard worker type shit. It wasn't nothing about that. It's like that's my man right there, and I'm not gonna let him go out like that. You know what I mean? Like every plate that I put out was with that expectation. I would never want my friend or somebody that I cared about to put something out that would make me look bad. So I'm just not gonna do that to anybody. And I always took that kind of like that's my mindset. You know what I mean? Like when we talk about like the grind, for me it's to be like. The dude who you absolutely know, you don't got to even think about. You know what I mean? Like, that was always my goal, was, like, to be the dude that, like, your station was fucking immaculate. Like, boom, you know, you're moving. You know
right,
I mean?
Nobody like, can say shit to you, you know. You're set up, helping everybody else set up.
Like, yo, we got, like, one of the other things, too, that, like, I'm sorry that we did that, like, is another part of the mindset, right, was, like, communal me. Well, it's like, yo, here's your station specific needs, but like, here's a set of things that like you can pull, like you can just do for everybody, and if you have time. So like, it was always a thing where we were all there was never enough tasks because people really wanted to do them. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, like I want to cut chives for everybody because I do them really well, or I'm really good at doing wine fucking shallow. I'm gonna do them for everybody because I want every dish that gets a fucking blue wad. Shallot to look fucking badass, and so I'm gonna do it. And that was the mentality, dude. Seriously, it was like, yo, like you know how to do this shit. You do this fucking better than I do. You want to cut like 2 quarts of chives for both of us? Fuck yes, I do. Like, it was never like there was never that weird like, oh, I gotta do my give me more. It was never no shit like that. It was the whole crew was like, bro, like, hey, I got time, guys. Who needs me? That who needs pants? Like that kind of shit. And that's what I'm saying, like. You know what I mean? It was like that flip for me.
It's,
like,
yeah, wow. No, for sure. It's like that 360 of like, okay, first you need to learn it, be good for yourself, and then you can really help others. And then once you're at that point, it's, you know, you're almost like just floating on this cloud of, you know, when you're, it doesn't feel like work at that point, right? It's just you're vibing with everybody. You know, you got everybody's back.
It goes back to wanting to see everybody win. And it's like, it's not a competition. Bro.
Now,
the competition.
Watching, you know, like that's a, like I love that saying, and I'm all about that. Like I, you know, I want to, you know, everybody I know, I want to see them succeed and stuff. But do you think that's more of a rare case nowadays, you know, with society, the way things are going? Is like, we see everybody's best life online, but like, then, you know, like, do you think people are more jealous because of like that fake persona that kind of happens online?
I mean, I don't know, man. If motherfuckers watching other people's stories like that, they got bigger problems than, you know what I mean? Like, if you're watching somebody's success as your failure, that's a whole other set of worries. So, like, I don't look at anybody else's success as my failure, you know what I mean? Or I don't look at anybody else's failures as my success. I take no pleasure in that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't speak to me.
No, I love that. I love that. Yeah, no, I was just interested in seeing, you know, your perspective on that.
I think that, like, people putting their whole shit out there like that, like, you're inviting a lot of comments on your life. And that's not that, like, people should hide their lives, but, like, it's like, if you're always putting that face forward, bro, like, when do you ever have time to figure out who you really are? You know what I'm saying? Like, especially in your food. If you're just making shit that looks pretty, but how's that taste? None of us taste it. Oh, fuck yeah, I look dope. But I can't taste that, so, like...
Right, are you going to crave that, you know, tomorrow? Are you going to crave that the day after that? And I can tell you that whatever you whipped up on the grand today, you know, I could eat that any day, every day. And, you know, it's going to be amazing. And then, you know, yeah, I agree with you. Sometimes... A lot of those dishes, you know, you go to the Michelin star restaurants, you don't end up really remembering most of them. There's going to be your 2-3 iconic dishes, right, that really hit and sit with you, especially, you know, from a chef perspective. But yeah, I agree. A lot of it goes unsaid. But then there's those, you know, staple shops where, you know, the experience, the vibes, the food, everything is amazing. Everything's fresh. And you go to those more often.